We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Happy Monday. Thank you for starting your day with us. Thanks for starting your week with us. We obviously have a lot to get to today. Coming up a little bit later on, we will get the latest on the story that took over the area over the weekend, and that was the shooting of two police officers in KCK. Both did not make it. We will have some details on the funerals and whatnot a little bit later on, as it was a rough weekend for a lot of people. Also, we'll get into the immigration debate, the conversation going on about the situation down at the Mexican border. Because, Jamie, that was the story that – it was that, the World Cup, and the U.S. Open, as far as I could tell, that, you know, people were talking about outside of the KCK situation.
So after 11, we'll talk to Jim Ryan from ABC News. We've heard from the Department of Homeland Security Secretary already this morning, defending actions at the border. We will explain to you what's new about this. A lot of you on Facebook have commented that the policy has been in place since the Obama administration. It's a little different now. We'll explain mm-hmm. why it's getting attention now and why things have changed a little bit from how it used to be. We'll play for you some comments. We'll tell you what Melania Trump had to say about it over the weekend. Laura Bush had to say about it as well. We'll read your comments on Facebook. They're up there. We kind of know, you know, what a lot of that's going to be, but we'll go ahead and take some calls in the 11 o'clock hour.
I'm going to pledge to you, Jamie, that I will not start a fight. That is going to be my goal coming up next hour in the 11 o'clock hour. I'm going to voice my opinion. You're going to voice yours. And we want to keep this as open as we can when it comes to the situation at the border. So we are going to do our best to let you just have the floor.
On the other hand, we get criticized for that sometimes, actually, in not engaging in a conversation. So there might be some conversation.
I just want
some back and forth.
My particular comment, or the particular comment that got me very upset from the Facebook page, includes the words, go fix your own country. As far as the kids go, too bad, lock them up also. I'm going to bet the trolls on social media and the text are not speaking for the majority of the people. But I don't know. We're going to find out. We're going to find that out coming up next hour when we take some phone calls on the new zero tolerance policy and the separation of the families that are coming seeking asylum, safety, health, and the ripping apart of families.
It's also conceivable this audience does not represent the entire country. So if it leans one way, that's not necessarily the entire country either. The Facebook comments largely lean one direction. In a pretty predictable line of thinking, which is cool. We'll also, President Trump has been on a tirade this morning on Twitter. We'll read you what he had to say. He's blaming another Democrats one. Who have no power whatsoever.
Another one. Also, coming up tonight, if you had not heard, the Parkland tour is hitting the area. And there will be some kids. We're going to find out Rachel Gonzalez, who is a local March for Our Lives KC activist. She's been in studio with us before the big one, the nationwide March for Our Lives events. She was one of the major players, part of the speaking schedule when the March for Our Lives KC event went on. She's going to join us in studio. She's pulling up. She's just a tick behind schedule. She's pulling up right now and will be joining us because the stop will be in KCK coming up tonight. I know there are a lot of people that are so very anti March for Our Lives, very anti-David Hogg, that are very anti-anti. But the kids are going on a 50-city tour? Was that what I saw? Getting a bus and going from stop to stop. It'll be interesting to see if people like Congressman Kevin Yoder are going to stop by at the event coming up tonight in KCK at the Reardon Convention Center to listen and to meet people and shake hands and to hear constituents. We have reached out to Congressman Yoder, by the way, to join us on the show. We have not yet heard back if Congressman Yoder has 10 minutes for us today. But he's been down to the border. So, I mean, two big things to discuss with him. This event tonight that is going on in his district, the March for Our Lives, where the kids are not letting this issue go away, and also the border situation in Mexico. So if we do have the chance to talk with Congressman Yoder, we've left some voicemails and sent messages. We open the show to Congressman Yoder to join us whenever he would like.
Yeah, it is a 50-stop, 20-state tour. They're also going to make stops in all 27 congressional districts in Florida. We don't know those just yet. But yeah, they're hitting everywhere in the Midwest. That's where they're starting. They were in St. Louis yesterday, Kansas City today, Omaha tomorrow, Sioux City, Cedar Rapids, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, St. Paul. They're hitting Bismarck, North Dakota, just wow, all over the place before they move on from there. So this is where all that money that was raised from the big march a couple months ago, this is where that money is. We didn't know exactly how they were going to spend that money. They raised millions. I mean, George Clooney donated, you know, $500,000. That's where a lot of this money is going, is to pay for this tour so that you can take all these kids and put them in a bus all summer and send them around the country.
So we have enough time with Rachel. We're going to take a quick break, do it early. That way we have enough time to get the details on what to expect tonight, how things are going with this movement and the rest of the tour as well. Rachel Gonzalez from March for Our Lives, KC in studio as the Parkland tour stops in KCK coming up tonight. She'll join us next here on 98.1 KMBZ. It's 10:15 here on 98.1 KMBZ, Midday with Jamie and Wickets. Coming up tonight, I can call it like a tour, like when the Rolling Stones tour, or I know Shania Twain's coming sometime soon, the Parkland Students Tour, to raise awareness for gun control and some changes to what we have going on in this country, makes its stop in KCK tonight at the Reardon Convention Center, led by the March for Our Lives group, a national student-led group formed by survivors of the shootings at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. And back when we had the March for Our Lives event a couple of months ago, our next guest was part of the March for Our Lives KC. We welcome in Rachel Gonzalez once again, who you will see tonight in KCK. Rachel, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so this is it as exciting as a Rolling Stones or a Beatles tour? Talk to us about why these kids are doing what they're doing, why you guys are doing what you're doing, going from city to city.
It's definitely really exciting for me and for the students that planned our March for Our Lives Kansas City, because we've been kind of advocating for the same things that they have been advocating for, and to be able to meet them tonight is going to be a really cool experience. One of the reasons why we chose Kansas City, Kansas over Kansas City, Missouri is because we had the March for Our Lives on the Missouri side. So it's pretty fair of us to have this event on the Kansas City, Kansas side. Also because we are targeting Kevin Yoder's district in Kansas 03. Congressman Yoder has not voted with us at all, and he's up for re-election in November. And in 2016, Hillary Clinton won his district, so it's a very vulnerable district.
Can you talk about, when you say the things that you're advocating for, can you talk about those things that you're advocating for when you say he hasn't voted with you? Give us examples of the things that he hasn't voted with you on.
So our organization and the national organization advocates for background checks, mental health screenings, for ban on assault rifles. And Congressman Kevin Yoder has not voted on those things. He does not, like, even when we tried to meet with his staff, he was very disrespectful to our student organizers. And then he finally met with them, and it was just kind of words that he was saying, but he is not doing anything for us.
Have you extended the invitation to Congressman Yoder? Do you expect him to show up tonight?
We don't expect Congressman Kevin Yoder to show up.
You invited him?
We have not invited him. We invited him to a town hall last month, Town Hall for Our Lives in Kansas 03, and he declined the invitation. He called it a Democratic Party event, which is very untrue, because this is a nonpartisan organization that is being planned under. And even at our town hall, we had all six of the Democratic candidates and the one Libertarian candidate, but he was the only one who did not show up.
Would you like to invite him now in case he's listening?
If he's listening, we would love to have Congressman Kevin Yoder there.
Come on out tonight, Congressman Yoder, on Minnesota between 5th and 6th in KCK.
So what can they expect tonight? People that are going to go, what kind of an event? Who's going to be there? What kinds of things are people going to hear?
So we're going to have a panel of a few Parkland students, a few KCK students, and me as a Missouri side student. And the audience will be able to ask questions. We'll have note cards that they can write down, and we'll pass them up. And we'll have a few moderators who ask those questions, and the panelists will answer them as best as we can. But we hope to raise awareness about this next election, about voting, and about what we can do to continue shaping this movement.
The I guess people are wondering who's going to be there. Everyone knows who David Hogg is. Is he like the rock star of this tour?
I think that they're all rock stars. We haven't.
That's such a politically perfect answer, by the way, Rachel. I know you want to get into politics. That's a good move.
I think that, again, they're all rock stars, and we'll be happy with whoever comes. I can't disclose that at this point, but I'm very excited.
Do you know who's coming?
Do I know?
Do you know who's coming tonight?
I do know, yes.
How come you can't tell us?
I don't know.
Will this be your first time meeting them?
Yes.
Meeting the actual, those that, because we've talked to you before, but in terms of meeting them in person, this will be the first time that you will.
Yes, this is my first time. In our press release that we initially put out, we said that there's going to be 3 Parkland students, but now I'm hearing that there's going to be over 8.
Over 8. Okay.
So,
how many are on the tour? How many are, I mean, is it, are they kind of alternating? Who's taking what stop?
Yeah, they're definitely alternating. There were quite a few in St. Louis yesterday, but some of them can't come, some of them can't come, some are joining. I think we'll also be joined by some students that they're bringing with them from Chicago, because they had, that was their first stop, was in Chicago and then St. Louis, and now Kansas City, Kansas.
Hitting some violent cities there, Chicago, St. Louis, and KCK.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like in St. Louis? Do you know what the turnout was like? Do you know what the participation was like?
I'm not exactly sure, but I know that they had less seating than we will have. We will definitely have more space available for people to come.
Okay. That's tonight at the Reardon Convention Center on Minnesota between 5th and 6th in downtown KCK. It is the March for Our Lives tour, as the stop will be here in KCK. What is your involvement with this? Other than this single event, are you going to be helping out in other places?
So this is kind of my involvement in this tour, because they know that my group has been the ones who planned the March for Our Lives Kansas City, the Town Hall for Our Lives Kansas City. And so they kind of reached out to us and said, hey, we want to come to your area. Could you help us plan this event? So we found them a place. We got them volunteers. We've been doing the best we can to advertise it on our pages and doing interviews like these. And that's kind of been our involvement.
How do you keep this going? Because this happened back in February, and we're still talking about it here on June 18th.
I think we just got to keep it going and registering voters and make sure that in November we vote for the people that support our causes and that will vote with us and vote out the people who don't.
Are you finding that when you are going from place to place and talking about issue and issue, are you finding that there is a resistance to your cause? Is the other side, are the anti-gun control, the pro-Second Amendment, always you can pry the gun from my cold, dead hands, are those people showing up? Are they doing their form of protest or sending questions up? Do they have a say in this?
They are definitely welcome to come. We would love to be able to respond to some of the things that they have been saying. But as far as our March for Our Lives KC went, we had a protest section for counter-protesters, and it was completely empty. We had maybe 2 people in the audience that had shirts and stuff, but they weren't a problem, and we're certainly not afraid of them.
Do you expect that you'll get questions from the other side? I mean, if you're opening it up for questions, mm-hmm. I would be ready for some of the, and I say that because of some of what I'm seeing as people text us. There definitely is another side out there that this is their opportunity to, especially because I suspect the media will be covering this event mm-hmm. to some degree this evening. That's their way to also show the other side and to try to counter some of your points.
Yeah, so we're definitely open to their questions and as prepared as we can be for those questions. I think that what we'll find along this tour is that we're a lot more alike than we think that we are. I think that there's a common misconception with some of the people who put stuff on, comments on articles and things that we're doing, because we aren't trying to repeal the Second Amendment, I think a lot of people...
Say that again.
We aren't trying to repeal the Second Amendment.
One more time for us, Rachel, please.
We're not trying to repeal the Second Amendment.
Okay.
Not trying to take away all people's guns. We just think that we shouldn't... People who have been domestic abusers shouldn't be able to get them. We should have mental health screenings. We shouldn't be selling guns to teenagers. And
that's just what we're working on.
Are you ready with facts? Because I'm hearing, just to show the other side, I'm hearing generalities, mm-hmm. and I know the other side is very well informed about what the laws currently say. So be ready with facts.
Absolutely.
To match.
We are definitely ready with facts. And another thing about Kansas City and Kansas City, Kansas, is that in Kansas, there is open concealed carry on campuses, and that's not the case in Missouri. So I don't know if you've heard, there's a professor in Kansas. His name is Kevin. I don't know the last name. He wears a bulletproof vest to his classroom at KU because he is worried about that. And I think that that is one thing that shouldn't be happening. You shouldn't have to be afraid in his own classroom.
But that's the reality today.
That's reality.
I mean, the reality is you can carry a gun on a college campus.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not you agree with that being the rule, it absolutely is. It is the rule. So, again, I do want to go back to what Jamie was saying and reiterate. If you are anti-March for Our Lives, which is insane, but if you are anti-March for Our Lives, and many of you do discredit Rachel Gonzalez, who is our studio and guest, if you do discredit David Hogg and the Parkland survivors, this is your opportunity tonight to go and voice your concerns. Now, the question is, from many people on the text line, will if I have a question for the Parkland survivors, for you, Rachel, is it going to get screened out? Are you going to screen out any question that you don't find benefits your cause?
We are going to answer as many questions we can as we get them. And we actually do want to have these questions so we can respond to them. That's kind of the whole point of this tour and this movement, is so that we can educate people and have them hear our side.
It would be interesting to hear the two sides go back and forth. I mean, not just for them to ask a question and you answer it, but to have that conversation, to mm-hmm. sort of like we attempt to do here sometimes, to have the two sides go back and forth and question each other's facts and question each other's motives and challenge each other a little bit, I think would be, if it was able to be done in a respectful way, I think that would be a healthy thing to see.
I think it definitely would be a healthy thing to see, and that's probably something we can do in the future at future events. But for this event, since we do have the Parkland students coming, we want to be kind of sensitive of the things that are saying. I know on our Twitter page and on our Facebook page, we already have very hateful comments and things.
Oh, we got them too. Don't worry. Yeah. In case you need more, we're getting them as well. Well, Rachel, good luck tonight. I hope whatever your goal you're trying to accomplish, you do accomplish. I hope you welcome it in to be on both sides. Mm-hmm. I hope that, you know, when you have the kids that come in, you will hear both sides to keep it fair, to keep it. I understand what you're in this for. I totally understand mm-hmm. what you and your side are in this for. But to keep it fair and to keep it balanced would be the best thing. Again, mm-hmm. if you want to go tonight, it's the Reardon Convention Center in downtown KCK on Minnesota between 5th and 6th. Starts at 6 o'clock. Doors at 5:30?
Yes.
Doors are at 5:30. Free.
Free.
Free to the public.
Free.
Bring your pen and paper and your questions.
I also wanted to mention that it is completely ADA accessible, and we will have ASL interpreters for those who cannot hear.
Very, very cool.
You can bring your friends.
Rachel, thank you so much. I know you're busy. You're on a media tour. Say hi to the rest of our friends on TV later on tonight.
For sure.
Rachel Gonzalez from March for Our Lives, KC, in studio again. Coming up tonight, if you want to check it out, some of the Parkland kids, part of the tour. 5, 8, who knows? They'll be at the Reardon Convention Center in downtown KCK. Thanks again to Rachel Gonzalez from March for Our Lives KC for joining us in studio, talking about the event tonight. You can go check it out again. It is in KCK at the Reardon Convention Center. Doors at 5:30.
Has anybody ever, moving on here to what the WHO is out with this week, we've done the stories before about problems with gaming. And now the World Health Organization has announced that gaming disorder will be included in its 11th edition of its International Classification of Diseases. And while we've got a couple of segments here before we talk to Jim Ryan at the top of the hour, I'm curious to know if any of you or if your kids or your spouses have taken part in video gaming or some kind of gaming to the point that you feel like you needed help. And if so, what did you do about it? Because one of the things that this is going to do is it's going to open up gaming disorder, to the extent that they define it, to being a treatable illness. And so as a diagnosis standard, they define, this is what the World Health Organization does, this International Classification of Diseases, they do this all the time. And researchers use it to count deaths, diseases, injuries, and symptoms. And doctors and other medical practitioners use this ICD to diagnose disease and other conditions. In many cases, healthcare companies and insurers use this ICD as a basis for reimbursement, meaning if you have an illness that is in this book of diseases, then it's a real illness and it's something that you could be treated for, and it's something your health insurance might have to cover, or it's something that might be subject to some of those other kinds of rules. So as far as the features of gaming disorder, there are three. One is that gaming behavior takes precedence over other activities to the extent that those other activities are taken kind of as secondary. You know, video gaming becomes more important than your job, becomes more important than eating, than taking care of your kids, than doing the other things in your life. The second feature is impaired control of those behaviors. So even when I'm going to try to take it out of doctor speak, but even when bad things happen because you're gaming so much, you don't care. You do
like
it anyway.
It's like a drug addiction.
So if it's keeping you from your work and it's costing you money, you do it anyway. It is. It's like an addiction. And so they said a diagnosis of gaming disorder means a persistent or recurrent behavior pattern of sufficient severity has emerged. So it's bad. Third feature is that it leads to significant distress and impairment in personal, family, social, education, or occupational functioning. So things like disturbed sleep patterns, diet problems, you're not getting enough physical activity, your personal relationships are suffering because you're spending so much time gaming. And they say exactly what you just pointed out, the main characteristics are very similar to the way you would diagnose substance abuse disorders and gambling disorder.
Anybody get a cop to this? Because I got some examples. Now, I'm not much of a video game guy. I wasn't much of a gamer after Sega Genesis. All right? That's kind of where I had the Nintendo. I still have Nintendo and a Sega hooked up. I had a PlayStation 1. Never went any further than that. Didn't really enjoy the PlayStation 1. Some of my friends went crazy and still play to this day. We're going to bring Travis in because Travis plays a lot of video games. But have you ever suffered from a gamer syndrome like this, where it kept you from doing what you were supposed to do, like going to work, paying your rent?
We've taken stories of people who have said it has ended marriages.
576-7798, 576-7798, or text in at 22980. Has it ever kept you from something you're supposed to do? And then when it happened, you're like, I didn't really want that job. A buddy of mine used to be a really good friend of mine, still is, just haven't talked to him in a long time because moved around the country. He got a scholarship to the University of Michigan. Very good school. Very tough to get into. He got a scholarship and he got kicked out his freshman year because he was playing the video game Tony Hawk or Tony Hawk 2, one of the two. I would go over and hang out and they would play, you know, we go over to their dorm room or whatever, just hang out and play Tony Hawk, and I'd leave at like, you know, 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock or whatever. He didn't stop playing. They played that video game throughout the night, like through 2 a.m., 3 a.m. He wouldn't study, therefore he wasn't prepped for his classes. He got booted before the end of the year.
Yeah.
He was kicked out of college because of video games.
And keep in mind, this is not a young person problem. Do you know how many people over the age of 40 will tell you how much they game? This is not a millennial problem.
No.
This is not all about kids. The answer to this is not parents take the video games away from your kids. It becomes more of a problem when it's an adult that has a job that they don't go to because they game.
Well, think about what generations grew up with video games. Yeah, the kids now are, but it was us. It was Gen X and the millennial generation. Mm-hmm. We had Atari. We had Nintendo.
Right.
We had Genesis. And then it exploded to Super Nintendo and Nintendo 64 and Xbox and PlayStation, whatever. I mean, there are a lot of people that just have this addiction. Some people are addicted to drugs. Some people are addicted to booze. Some people are addicted to gambling or sex or whatever. This is a thing. 576-7798. Brian, you're on 98.1 KMBZ. Thanks for calling, Brian.
Hi. I was just going to say that. No, thank you. Sorry about that. I'm at my job.
Well, we appreciate you calling on the clock.
I know, right? I was just going to say, I'd like to know who did the study of this, because it seems like it's a female, because, after a guy did their work and stuff all day and stuff, it seems like the female just wants to...
Who do you think did the study, Brian? I'm going to tell you the answer and the spokesman for it, but who do you think did it? Like Vogue magazine?
No, it seems like some female doctor that just wants to be like, hey, I don't want my man to play no video games.
What if I told you it was the World Health Organization?
Which we started the story with. It's a big deal. The World Health Organization classifies diseases all over the world, and they do this book called the International Classification of Diseases, which is one of the things health insurance companies look at when they decide what to cover.
Well, what would they say if I told them that North Korean kids are playing games, shooting Americans and stuff? I mean, it's for every generation, I think we all got to...
Are you missing the point of this, Brian?
Yeah, I'm totally playing with you guys.
That's all right. Okay. Thanks for the phone call, Brian.
Good use of airtime.
Appreciate that. It was some female organ. No, it's the World Health Organization. My God.
Dr. Vladimir Pozniak.
Sounds like a female.
Yeah.
Vladimir.
Is amongst those who proposed the new diagnosis.
Let's go to Steven. I dare take another phone call. Who knows where this will go? Steven, you're on KMBZ.
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
I love the show just to start off, but... my biggest worry with this whole thing is that it opens up the door for, you know, discrimination lawsuits because you lose your job or your scholarship because you're not going to class or going to work because you're gaming, and then try to use this as an excuse. I mean, we need to stop getting away from people, you know, using hobbies and stuff as an excuse for not doing what they need to be doing.
So you discount this as something that is a legitimate disorder that could that like gambling or sex or alcohol or booze? You think this is all made up in cockamamie?
I think it's made up in cockamamie, but I mean it's different from drugs because those are, you know, chemical things that people get dependent on. As far as, you know, gambling and stuff, you gamble your savings away. That's on you.
Well, everything is on you.
Well, and the argument for addiction is that just because it's an activity that in theory you could stop, what makes it an addiction is the way your brain reacts to it. It's the dopamine. It's the physical and chemical reaction that your body has to having that activity. And it becomes something that you need, like alcohol or like some kind of a substance. You become addicted to the activity because your body responds to it in the same way.
Thanks for the phone call, Steven. I don't know if people are going to be able to use this and say, I need treatment for my gaming. So from his point of view, I wonder if this is going to lead to that.
Well, but what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? That's the point of a disease, is to get treatment for something that is hurting your life.
Because people like Steven, and I can see Steven's point of view on this. It's like, dude, just stop playing video games. All right, well, you can tell the gambler, stop gambling, or the drinker, stop drinking, or the you know, drugs take over your body, but you're the one that got hooked on that. You know, it's video games, so we don't put a lot of faith in it.
But what's the difference? We consider gambling addiction a thing. Why is video gaming not considered a similar addiction?
I believe it is. I agree with the study. I mean, I know personally, my friend Matt, who lives in the Detroit area, went through a bad time, got kicked out of school because he couldn't stop playing video games. My ex-roommate lost a job playing Cool Borders 4. Does anybody remember that video game? Cool Borders. It was a snowboarding game. He lost a job because one day he said, I'm not going to go, and didn't go to work. It was a no-call, no-show because he wanted to play PlayStation, lost his job. It happens. 576-7798 from the Facebook page. It's called Bad Parenting. That's from Kyle. Again, more people game over the age of 12 or 15. I will bet more people that are closer to my age game than your kids' age.
I would assume it's less of a problem with kids because parents can say, get your butt to school.
Yeah.
I don't care. Go to school, you know, or get your homework done. Whereas with adults, there aren't, you know, we can do whatever we want.
Right.
There's nobody telling us we have to go to work. If we lose our job, we lose our job.
Like my two friends, Matt and Matt, lost their job and lost their scholarship because of video games. Teresa, Pat, stick right there. You're coming up next on KMBZ. I played a lot of Mario when I was young. Now, I wasn't college age, but I've watched, like, the history of video games on a couple of channels, and I think it's just fascinating. I will bet there were a lot of people in the 1980s when Nintendo came to houses or when Atari was there, people being addicted to Pong, that probably fell in line with what we're talking about. As the world, the World Health Organization has announced a new gaming disorder.
They're going to include it in their big international book of diseases, the International Classification of Diseases, which doesn't necessarily dictate to insurance companies and doctors what they need to cover and what they need to treat. But it does lay out some specifics about here's what would make it a disorder. And one of the things that they lay out is some of the things we've talked about before that I think are obvious, but it has to keep you from the other things in your life, and it has to have negative effects that you endure anyway because gaming is so important. And the other thing they note is that those patterns have to continue for at least 12 months before they consider it to be a disorder. So it can't just be something you're experiencing a little bit. It's got to be a long-term pattern of behavior.
576-7798. We're asking you if you've ever been or you know someone who has decided that they were going to play video games and, you know, not take care of their responsibilities, just like any other addiction. 576-7798. 576-7798. Teresa, you're on KMBZ. What's up?
Yes, hi. I have a nephew that lives in the Chicago area, and graduating from high school, he didn't work for 4 years because he was always gaming in his basement, and got a job at Amazon. He lasted maybe 3-4 months because a new game was coming out, and he had to quit so he could go play his gaming.
I mean, how do you, and you said it was your nephew, so how does your brother or your sister have that conversation with their kid?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've talked to my brother about it. He goes, I can't do anything about it. It's ridiculous. It makes me too frustrated to talk to him, and he lives in his parents' basement, it's crazy.
How old is he?
He is probably 23, 24 now.
Does he have a job now?
No.
He literally is the example of living in your mom's basement, not having a job, playing video games.
Exactly.
Oh, my Lord.
And then when I go visit over there, and if we're just sitting around, he cannot join the conversation. He can't, you know, he has trouble making eye contact, and he would just as soon be down in that basement with his games instead of socializing. So I think it's had a huge impact on him. I guess what my concern is if there's this diagnosis that comes out, does it qualify some of these people that are so addicted to it as, you know, for disability? I mean, I kind of think it's a little ridiculous, but...
So, no college, no job for this kid?
No. He dropped out of senior year of high school, got his GED, but that was it.
Boy, I hope your nephew figures it out, Teresa. I really do.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
Hey, you have a great day. Thank you so much for the call. Pat, you're on KMBZ.
Hello.
Hey, Pat.
We went through this with my husband. He was, it kind of came to a head in 2012, so he would have been in his 50s. He was into Second Life to the point where, you know, he didn't have a first life anymore. And
Did you say he lost his first wife because of his addiction to video games?
Well, his first wife.
Oh, yeah, exactly. He lost his first wife. Like, she divorced him because he was too addicted to video games?
Well, that would have been me. No, he didn't have a real life. He just had the Second Life on screen.
Oh, you're saying life as in L-I-F-E. Yes. I'm so sorry. I misheard you. I could not make out what you said, and I have headphones on. I'm sorry about that, Pat.
That's okay. I know it was his way of dealing with depression, at least in the beginning. His company basically was put out of business. And so it wasn't a matter of him not going to work. He really didn't have a job, you know, to do anymore. But he also wasn't looking. And it was getting to the point where I was going to lose my job because he was coming to bed at 3 and 3:30 and waking me up. And then, you know, I was having trouble functioning properly. But and then he'd sleep until noon or sometimes 2 in the afternoon while I was at work. But, you know, I didn't have a way to get caught up on my sleep. And the psychologist later told me that I did a very bad thing, but basically he was out of the house for something, and I packed up his computer and hit it. I didn't damage it or anything, but I just hit it. And he tried to kill himself after that. And I'm like, it's an appliance. It's a toaster. Come on. You know, this can't be this big of a part of your life. And he finally did go to counseling and went to, they called it a day, like it was almost like daycare kind of thing. And he did okay in that. But as far as I can tell, he's still doing it. He just seems to be controlling it a little better. And he was forbidden to play that particular game anymore. But he sneaks back to do it, and he lies about stuff. And it's horrible.
It sounds like it. Pat, thanks for the phone call. 576-7798. In his 50s. These aren't just kids.
No, not at all.
It's not just children. Let's go to Susie on 98.1 KMBZ. Hi, Susie.
Hello, how are you?
Doing all right. How do you feel about this idea of a gamer syndrome that's out there?
Well, I believe it might be a disease, but Stephen, a while ago, I think his point was that people will be people filing for disability and getting SSI and government money for gaming, and it will perpetuate the problem if it's a medical disability or disease, because there's all kinds of rights for people with diseases. And maybe they'll come out with new meds for gaming disorders, I don't know, for psych meds, or maybe new facilities, rehab facilities will spring up to help people, because I know that people have this problem. I have family that does.
Is there anything wrong with there being government assistance or medical assistance for those with that, you know, if we can figure out a way to, you know, like go through those steps and figure out who is addicted? Is there anything wrong with that?
Only if it's a true addiction, but, I mean, think of the fraud that there is now with, like, medical diseases, and now there's going to be the fraud of people who say, well, hey, I like to game, so I have a disease. I just have to sweet-talk my doctor into signing a paper
saying
I have a disability.
But, again, I ask you, for those that have it, mm-hmm. and just like with any other disease that people have, and there's always going to be people that sweet-talk their doctors into anything, is there anything wrong with that?
No, I'm a nurse.
Okay.
And people need help, and I'm all about treatment.
But you're worried that it will outweigh the bad people mm-hmm. sweet-talking
exactly.
their doctors, you think, in this particular, will outweigh the people who actually need the medical attention.
Exactly, yes.
Well, I hope that's not the case, but as we know, there are always plenty of people out there trying to beat the system.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter if it's video games, booze, you know, whatever.
Somebody's asking, what medication do you prescribe to someone who plays video games? Not everything's treated with medication.
It's true.
Not everything's treated with medication. A lot of that's treated with just behavioral changes.
Alcoholism isn't treated with too much medication.
No, it's treated by going cold turkey.
Yeah.
It's treated by never being able to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that, once you're an alcoholic, most people do not go on to have a healthy relationship with alcohol later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.